the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 4, the verses 1 through 11. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 4, the first 11 verses. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto them, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Thus far the reading of the scriptures. Hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who may be home again from the hospital, and Mrs. Ellen Clark, who was waiting for surgery. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, it is already the second Sabbath day of this newly begun year, and then also in the past week, and in this morning hour, then thou showest so clearly unto us and our children that thou rulest over everything. Where thou wast sent the cold upon the earth, and there is no one upon this world that can stay thy hand to prevent that cold. Then thou art not only the creator, but also the upholder in thy divine providence of the heavens and of the earth. And then we may thank thee also in this past week and also in this past night for thy caring, for thy sparing, for thy protecting, and for thy providing hand. Then thou grantest so many reasons to acknowledge thee also in the midst of the cold, that we may have warm dwellings and also a warm place of worship to gather in this day. Then surely, then thou maketh the great difference where there is no difference. And who maketh us to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we commend unto thee man and beast. We remember the homeless ones, undoubtedly. There have been those that have been ushered into eternity on account of the cold. There are so many upon the world that have not sufficient to heat their homes. And, Lord, then there are so many dwellings upon the world where it is written that in the latter days, because iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. Where that love has disappeared, where there is discord, where there is disunity, where there is hatred, ah, Lord, wilt thou then remember us and our children? Then we commend unto thee all the beasts and the birds who need a place of shelter, and may also be given to rejoice when the sun may arise by renewal, and when they may feel a little warmth, ah, Lord, impress it upon the hearts of us and our children that we also need a place of shelter, not only for our bodies, but for our never-dying soul. And then thou was written in thy holy word that thy dear son at the feast of the dedication of the temple, and where it was winter, that thou was walked in Solomon's porch, the porch of the temple, ah, Lord. May it then please thee by thy spirit, by thy power, that on this winter day, that thou may walk through the midst of the congregation, that thou may manifest thy love, thy mercy, and thy power, and that in the way of thy righteousness, ah, Lord, may it then please thee in this morning hour, that thou may replace, ah, perhaps a people have come up, because thou hast a people upon the earth whom thou was given a heart of flesh, and have to many a times complain about that heart of stone. Lord, may it then please thee that thou may grant unto boys and girls, unto young and old, that thou may replace that stony heart with a heart of flesh that may be given to love thee, to seek thee, to hate sin. Oh, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear son, Lord. May it please thee to walk through the midst of the congregation and say unto a Levi, by thy almighty power and by thy love, follow me. And then a Levi has left everything behind, and then he has followed thee. Lord, may it please thee to walk through the midst of us. Ah, thou knowest how that each and every one is sitting in their benches. Those that are cast down, wilt thou lift them up. Those that are so ignorant in heavenly ways, may it please thee to instruct them. Those that have many riddles and perplexities, how wilt thou say unto them, why art thou sad? And that thou may declare the riches of thy meritorial work. Lord, those that are bitten by the serpent, oh, where it seems that their eyes are so dim, wilt thou show unto them that thou wast hung on the cross, oh, as in the wilderness, where that serpent was placed on the pole, and then thou wast given strength, then thou wast given that faith to look for the complete healing of their bodies, Lord, when there may be those souls that have a lukewarm heart. May then the Son of Righteousness, a divine ray of thy divine love, ah, when that penetrates the heart, then it all becomes so different. Lord, walk then through the midst of the congregation, ah, for those with a closed mouth, that the high praises of the Lord may be given unto them, to declare thy wonderful works how it is possible for poor and needy sinners to be saved, ah, Lord, when there are those smoking flaxes. Do then blow by thy Holy Spirit on this winter day upon them, that that flame may be replenished, that their eyes may be upon thee. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that learn how dependent they are upon thee. Ah, when there is a soul so tempted and assaulted by the devil, where many times they are even afraid, possessed of the devil, ah, when thou hast walked upon the face of the earth, then thou hast commanded the devils to come up, and then they were given to behold, and then they were given to worship thee, ah, Lord, wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then work wondrously on this winter day, when we may be separated from the cold, oh, in the realm of nature, then the sun may still be given to shine. May the sun of righteousness shine upon us and our dear children in this morning hour. Lord, glorify then thy name. It is thy cause, it is thy kingdom, and thy glory. And thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. May it then be a year, ah, Lord, shall thy name not greatly be glorified, when many jewels are added unto the meritorial crown of King Jesus, when thou granteth that close, that dependent, that tender life at the throne of grace, when thy church may be more the light and the salt of the earth, ah, Lord, with an impression undeserved from our sides, also the sins of the first days and the first weeks of this year, they testify against us, also our unthankfulness. But wilt thou remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Oh, may the King then ride triumphantly upon the apparel of his holy word, and that thy kingdom may greatly be expanded amongst us and our children. May do then remember, and thou shalt remember, thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, wherever it may gather in this day. May the kingdom of Satan be disturbed, and thy kingdom greatly enlarged. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Then thou wast given unto a daughter, that she may return from the hospital. Ah, Lord, do then bless the means, that her pain may be bearable, or discomfort. Thou knowest her deep way. May she be given to cry unto thee. Remember her together with the family circle, and may the calling be sanctified. Lord, we commend unto thee a mother with serious and grave concerns, where she is awaiting for surgery. We humbly beg of thee that thou may remember, that thou may uphold her, and that there may yet be means that her life may be lengthened, and that this solemn calling by renewal, that it may be used for the profit of her never-dying soul. May she be given to experience tokens of thy divine favor. So we commend all the sick and afflicted unto thee, with all the concerns, with all the difficulties, with all the pain. Ah, do remember them. Grant them that special place at thy footstool. We commend unto thee sick relatives, among young and old, the concerns are known unto thee. Then thou speakest in so many ways. Lord, wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, with the empty places that remain empty at times, where they seem to only become emptier. May those empty places, may they be filled with thy divine presence. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones. Remember the crosses and the burdens. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, it is in thy special providence where we may be in the midst of our own people, where it was not possible to travel to the other congregation which was planned. May it then be for a special purpose. Ah, Lord, grant then some words to speak, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy, and what follows. Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7.
this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Matthew 4, the verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our text words speak of Christ's first temptation in the wilderness, with three thoughts. In the first place, the circumstances around this temptation. Secondly, the character of this temptation. And in the third place, the victory over this temptation. Christ's first temptation in the wilderness. The circumstances, the character, and the victory over this temptation. Thus first, the circumstances around this temptation. Beloved congregation, every step that the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious mediator, has taken upon this earth, and that was in the first place for the honor of his Father, and in the second place for the salvation of his church. And then we already hear those precious words when he was only 12 years old, when they have went up to the temple, out of Luke 2 verse 49, "Wist ye not that I must be in my Father's business?" Oh, congregation, the preciousness of that Father's business. There lies such a preciousness and such a room for us and our children to be saved. And then for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the servant of the Father, with an eye upon his glory and with an eye upon the church, which he would receive as a reward upon the finishing of that work. But to that end, it was also necessary that he would perfectly obey the law, that is, his active obedience, and in the way of his passive obedience, that he would suffer and die, and that on the cross he would cry out, "It is finished." And now in our text words, then the Lord Jesus Christ, busy in his Father's business, and then we read in our text, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We also read in the scriptures that the Lord tempts his people, but that is to prove them, to examine the sincerity of their faith, whether it is the true work of the Lord. And then he also tempts them that they may be further assured of their faith. Think of Abram in Genesis 22, where it is specifically written that the Lord has tempted Abram, then he has tried him. But now the tempting of the devil, that is completely different than the devil, because the Lord never tempts his people to sin. No. Oh, it is true. In those temptations, they can fall into sin. And there is a church upon the earth that has much trouble with the devil. But now the devil, he tempts to sin, and then also to question the attributes of the Lord, whether he is a God of truth, whether he is a God of faithfulness, a God of righteousness, a God of mercy. And now we read in our text then, and then we read in the last part of Matthew 3, that Jesus has experienced a great blessing. He was baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan. And then we read, when he was baptized, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thus our text words, they follow the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Father has spoken those precious words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the church oftentimes experiences that after a special blessing, that the devil will come sooner or later to rob them of their comfort. For our boys and girls in the sea, then there are those pirates that attack cargo ships to rob them of their goods. And what kind of a ship do they look for? One that is low in the water, because then it is evident that they have a great cargo. And now for the Lord Jesus Christ, then, after that special blessing, and with his baptism, then he was anointed with the Holy Spirit to be qualified for his office as prophet, priest, and king. He was anointed with holiness, with wisdom and power to begin his official duties. And now concerning the work of his Father, that is also declared. We think of the first mother promise. In Genesis 3 verse 15, it was spoken to the devil, "But as a comfort for Adam and Eve, I will put enmity between thee and between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The one would bruise its head, the other its heel." Then Christ has come upon the earth because the devil, he is ruined, he is spoiled God's perfect creation, where everything was divine perfection. No pain, no worries, no sickness, no death, and everything was for the glory of God. And then the devil has come to our first parents, to our first covenant head,
and he has fallen. But now Christ, as the covenant head of the elect, then in our text words, then he went into the wilderness to be tempted, and as a prelude, what would take place at the end of his life upon the cross, we may compare in our text words the Lord Jesus Christ to David in 1 Samuel 17, where there was a great battle, there was a great giant. Who was that, boys and girls? That was Goliath. And then he has asked the Israelites for a man that would come to fight against them, that only those two would fight, and whoever would win that nation, that other nation would be in bondage. And so we see in our text words, I read in Psalm 69, verse 9, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Then we read that in the council of peace, then Christ has said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is written within my heart. Then reverently speaking, it is true, waited for the fullness of time, for a waiting church, and that was assaulted whether the promise would be fulfilled. But then Christ has come upon the earth, that arch enemy of the Lord and of his church, who has ruined and continues to ruin so much, who holds so many of the children of men in bonds that they are his captives, and they have no power to deliver themselves, dead in sins and trespasses, and with the soul traveling to eternity. Then in our text words, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a holy zeal and with a fervent love, that arch enemy may be destroyed, that his head may be bruised. So he has went into the wilderness. Then was Christ led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then Christ, then he has went into the wilderness to commune also with his Father in preparation for his official duties, because they were such impossible and they were such heavy duties, what was laid upon the Son of God, and that he would also destroy the devil and all his works, and that he would gather those captives. It is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to open their eyes, that they are in captivity, that they are given to cry, and he shall answer their prayers. Thus first into the wilderness, before he has begun his official duties, to commune with his Father, before he would speak to men. That, for example, concerning the things of the Lord before he would begin his official duties. It's a blessing, especially in our time, people. We need our times alone. Put all the technology aside. But then you shall say, but that is so difficult. How did we manage in former days? Life also continued. Can also be a danger, because the devil has that hellish wolf. You know, boys and girls, many times wolves, when they see a herd of elk or other animals, then they are looking for a straggler. one that is alone, and that's the one whom they attack, and that's the one whom they kill. And so there's also a people upon the earth that knows of those times when they are in seclusion, that they can have much trouble with temptation and the devil. Was a time in the early church, the first centuries, they were times of great persecution. And then when that persecution has become less, then there were people in the church, true people of God, that thought when there came a time of prosperity, if we now seclude ourselves, go in the wilderness, and be all alone, then it shall be better for our soul. We read of an Anthony. He was born in 251. And then in church, then the life of the rich young ruler was explained, and where Christ has said he must sell everything and give it to the poor. And that Anthony, he is given away. His parents were very rich, lost them when he was about 20 years old. He had a sister. And then finally he felt that he must give everything away. He placed his sister under the guardianship of another couple. And then he went into the wilderness. But that is not the calling of the church. Because the church must be the light and the salt of the earth. Oh, it is understandable that sometime our families think, with everything that is going on in this world, if we could now move to a place where it was not so busy, more alone, then it would be better and easier for us and our children. But congregation, we must remember, who shall we take along? And that is self and her evil heart. And also in the early church, they have experienced much trouble with the devil. And now we read in our text words, before Jesus has begun his official ministration in his ministry, that he was tempted with the devil. Reverend Tiptoff has stated in a certain place concerning those that labor in the church, if they do not have much trouble with the devil, that is a bad sign. Because when much damage is inflicted upon his kingdom, and many are taken from his banner by the ministry of the word, then the devil shall roar as a lion. And the late Reverend Varane has even written in a certain sermon that sometimes before the Lord granted a special blessing on the Lord's day, that in that week it seemed that the devil was so angry that caused them much grief. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And we find this history in Mark 1 and Luke 4. Thus when we read that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, then he did not presume, but he was led to that place, and that for a special purpose. Then in the first place, the love for his Father, that a church may be saved, and the glorification of his attributes. In the second place, the love for his people. O Christ, when he is tabernacled, when he has walked upon the face of the earth. We even read in Hebrews 12 verse 2 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And then with a holy zeal, when he was given to behold that the devil had so much power, as so many subjects, that so many were blinded, that he had so many followers that so willingly and blindly followed after him. Then he has come into the wilderness, as a David has declared in 1 Samuel 17, verse 29, when his brothers have spoken, then he has said, is there not a cause? When he has heard that Goliath blasphemed the name of his God, oh, for the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has come upon the world, when he was given to see the works and the power of the devil, to that end he has come into the wilderness to be tempted, that he may defeat. And now concerning the devil, he has many different names in the Bible. In this chapter, called the devil, Satan, and we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, the angel of light, because congregation, the devil, does not matter how he keeps us in his clutches, whether it is in the way of the world or in the way of religion. Have you heard it when we read this chapter? Christ three times upon those temptations, as says it is written. But after the second temptation, then Satan has said the same, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. So in this chapter we have that the devil is an angel of light. Also comes with the word of God. And then I hear some souls say, with fear, that can be their question, the words which the Lord has given unto me, are they now from the Lord? Oh, when the Lord has spoken, I thought so, I believed it. But we read in this chapter also, the devil has said, it is written. Although if we compare that text, the word is found, it's not all quoted. And then I hear a soul say, but how shall I now know whether it's truly from the Lord? Let us only say this in this morning, congregation. With the work of the devil, it makes big and proud people. And when the Lord speaks, oh, it brings us low. So humble. Be wonderment, a desire that he receives all the honor and glory. But other names, 1 Peter 5 verse 8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Ephesians 2 verse 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not such nice and good names, congregation, have you heard it? From all those names, then we can understand that the devil is an awful master to serve. Promises much. In John 8 verse 44, he is called a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar. He's an awful master to serve. Congregation, is that still your master? Do you bear his image? Do you do his works? If that is the case, oh, may you pray much. We have said, in that mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, there lies such a riches and such a room for sinners to be saved. He has merited salvation and he applies it. And therefore the need to forsake the world, to forsake our sin, to repent, and to come to this blessed King with a rope around your neck, and to be given to cry for his mercy, that we may be taken from under his banner and placed under the glorious banner of King Jesus. O congregation, that is such a blessed exchange that shall never be regretted. And then we shall also become partaker of many temptations, and now we must not make the mistake, I hope, when we are under God's word, that we all have a certain trouble of the conscience, that we cannot sin so easy, and what a struggle that can be. And I hope those struggles may remain. But those struggles in itself, difficulties with temptations, a conscience speaking, that in itself is not a proof that we have grace. And what now separates? The love of God shed abroad in our heart, that separates. That there is not only a slavish fear, but that there is that childlike fear. Our second thought, the character of this temptation. And when he had fasted 40 days, and then it is clear in the fasting of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was miraculously upheld. The same as Moses, 40 days on the mount. Also Elijah, after he has received that angel's food, because we can understand that we cannot live without food for 40 days. So he was miraculously upheld. And then we read that after those 40 days, although when we compare Scripture with Scripture, then we read in Mark 1, the verses 12 and 13, that for 40 days he was tempted of Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. But then we read in Matthew that he was afterwards and hungered. Thus that means that the Lord is wonderfully preserved and kept in those 40 days, that he did not feel the hunger so much, but especially at the end of that time. But in Mark, we also read that during those 40 days, that the devil has not left them alone, but at the end of those 40 days, the temptation has come to a climax. And then it is clear that the devil has chosen the opportunity very closely, because he was a hungered, And then it is also clear that there were stones, although they tell us in the land of Israel, you can find stones nearly all over the place. But then Satan was sure that there was a stone or stones in the vicinity that he could tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. That is also instruction for us and our children. Oh, how needful that we are given to daily pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And how manifold the temptations are in our day. And may we be given to find what our hand finds to do, also concerning technology. Because otherwise, in sincerity and honesty, then we cannot pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when the tempter came to him, he said, when we compare this chapter, and it is needful that we compare scripture to scripture, that we compare our text words to Genesis 3. There the tempter has also come. Covenant head of the covenant of works, Adam, representing all his posterity. And now in our chapter, then the devil has come, the covenant head of the covenant of grace, representing all the elect. And then the devil has come with the question, if thou be the Son of God, the devil has heard it, has seen it, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Must remember, congregation, that the devil is also a faithful churchgoer, and that he hears what is proclaimed in God's house, and when it may be used for this one or for that one, that the devil shall come back upon it. If thou be the Son of God. Thus those words which were spoken at his baptism by his Holy Father. Were those words now really spoken? And are they true? The Lord has a people upon the earth, where it is not a strange language. Of course, not the Son of God, not the natural Son of God, but an adopted child. If you are now really a true child of that great God, then the devil, he can come with so many questions and so many assaults, and how troubled those souls can be. There is a Christendom where it seems that they can hold on to everything. And we must always remember that unbelief is the greatest sin. And that oftentimes in the life of God's people, when the Lord comes over, then it becomes so. But a Christendom that can hold on to everything, you have to believe with understanding, and they continue to believe. But do you know what the true child of God experiences? That it is the Lord that holds on to them, and that it is the Lord's work through his beloved Son by the Spirit to each time confirm it by renewal. If thou be the Son of God, if thou now really art a child of God, then they are questioned whether what the Lord has spoken, what thou so surely believed that it was from the Lord, where they were given to embrace it with those arms of faith, given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. And there are times that they may live out of that comfort for a longer time or shorter. The Lord is free. And then the devil waits for the right opportunity. And he knows the character of the child of God. He knows whether they are a Peter or a Thomas or a John. And the devil hates to lose, to be defeated. So he awaits for the special opportunity. And then he asks the child of God, has now the Lord really spoken those words? Or was it your strong desire? We have a strong desire. Then we can find something that suits her case, or was it even your imagination? If thou art truly a child of God. And then, think of Zechariah 3, then Satan pointed Joshua to his filthy garments. If thou art really a child of God, how come there is so much evil within? How come you have broken so many promises? How come that when temptation comes, that you so easily give in? Thus, if thou were truly a child of God, then it surely would be different in your heart. Then there would not be so much sin, so much pride, so many transgressions of all the commandments, not so many wandering thoughts, and your religious duties. Thus then it is clear that you are not one of his. And what else? Oh, in the way of providence, because in our context, then it wasn't providence, the Lord's providence and his Father's providence, that he was 100. And then when the ways are so contrary, and there are wants and difficulties, impossibilities, sickness, afflictions, if thou wert now truly a child of God, then Satan can also come with texts, because there are many texts in the Bible that speak of the special care of the Lord for his people. In the Bible, we have the ravens, the crews, and the barrel. And now you have prayed so long, at times even given to believe that they were heard by the Lord, and still no answer yet has found relief. Oh, then they can be tempted to have hard thoughts of the Lord. And now concerning the command, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And we have examples in the Bible of the wonders that the Lord has performed. Soon he would change the water into wine. Thus, if thou art the Son of God, then tell this stone that it be turned into a loaf of bread. Prove to me that you are the Son of God. What a subtle temptation that it was for the Son of God. And why was it such a subtle temptation? Then the devil has tempted him not to trust in the care of his heavenly Father. That's a very subtle temptation. And how would it now be with this temptation? Not to trust in his Father, not to honor him, and to listen to the temptation of the devil. How would it now be? Oh, in Genesis 3, our first parents were not under the consequences of sin. Eve was not hungry when she stood by that tree. They were in a garden of plenty. And yet, they have listened to the tempter. But Christ, in our text word, he was under the consequences of sin. He was a hungered. He was in the wilderness. And what would his answer now be? Oh, then surely, then heaven and hell has listened. Also the angels, we read specifically concerning this temptation, concerning the presence of the angels, how heaven and hell has listened. But Christ, as the captain of salvation, as the victor, then already with that first temptation, then he would bruise the head of Satan. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. And what follows? Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Christ's first temptation in the wilderness. The circumstances, the character, and now thirdly, the victory over this temptation. Congregation, concerning the temptations of Christ, those are deep things. On the one hand, it was impossible that Christ could give into that temptation. And yet in his human nature, then that temptation was real. An old father has compared Christ to a white stone, a perfectly white and beautiful stone on the shores of the sea. And then the waves, they come upon that white stone. But that white stone remains perfectly white. Then Christ, we read of King Hezekiah in Isaiah 35 when Rabshakeh, the general of Sennacherib, has come to mock with the God of Israel and to raise doubt in the hearts of the people upon the wall. And then Hezekiah has commanded that people, you must not answer him one word. Oh, what an instruction. Because what do, congregation? When we start to argue with the devil and his arguments, all for the one he says it's but a little sin. And for another one, other people do it too. And for another one, the sin can also be forgiven. For another one, it is the circumstances. They are unbearable. You cannot pretend you are living 100 years ago. You live in the year 2024, thus to give in for once is not so bad. But Christ did not argue. Oh, then Christ in our text words. Then we see him as that greater David. And boys and girls, when David has fought with Goliath, then what did he fight with? Oh, he has said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, thou comest unto me with a spear and a sword and a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord, the armies of the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And what did David then have? He had a sling with 5 stones. And then he has taken a stone out of that sling. And he has smitten Goliath. And so we see in our text words that the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he also had a sling. And that he has taken the word of God. And then we read in our text, and he answered and said, it is written. And in the answer, he honored his father, entrusting all his care, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee, but also honoring the Holy Spirit, because we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then Christ was quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, concerning the manna in the wilderness. Then the Lord has wonderfully provided for the children of Israel with that manna. And so he continues to do so. It's kingly office of Forest Church. And then Christ has said, man shall not live by bread alone. Christ did not say bread was not necessary. Christ has also given a petition for our daily bread. It's necessary for us and our children that we may receive that daily bread, and then the bread that is connected with the Word of God. And how is it now with our daily bread? It does not mean there are no trials in family circles. It costs a lot to live. But is our daily bread, our prosperity, does it now bring us closer to God's Word, more on our knees, or do we depart further from the Word of God? As Christ does not say that our daily bread is not important. We read the Sermon on the Mount. He has spoken especially of those things, pointed to the sparrows, how wonderfully the Lord has created them. When it is so cold outside that they are given to find a place to sleep, do you think about it, boys and girls? When you are lying under your blankets, about the rabbits, about the birds. And then the Lord has created them in such a special way that they may survive. Thus Christ does not say that bread is not important, but now that word alone, that separates. May I ask you, congregation, are you not satisfied with your daily bread? Does that now give the full satisfaction? Or has there come an other need? Because that daily bread, that is for our bodies. The Lord needs to bless it. Appetite, digestion, wonderfully and fearfully made. But we also have a never-dying soul. And to that end, Christ has declared, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in Ephesians 6, verse 17, concerning that word, we read and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in Hebrews 4, verse 12, there it speaks of the sharpness of that sword. Thus we must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just every word. Not some words, not taking them out of context, but the whole scripture from Genesis to the last chapter, the last verse of Revelation. And then one compares the Word of God to our bread. Then in that Word of God is declared concerning the bread of life that has come down from heaven, born in a stable, laid in a manger, and his name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Thus Christ has refuted the temptations, not only this temptation, it is three times written, three times, concerning the three temptations that Christ each time has come with the Word of God. In Genesis 3, when Satan has come to Eve what should she have done? Because Eve has received a head, and that his head was her spokesman. Then she should have said to Satan, you must come to my head with that temptation. Because I am his helpmeet. I have received him as head. He is my spokesman. What a blessed place when it may be given to the true child of God. Oh, when the devil comes, if thou art now truly a child of God, in so many different ways, then how troubled and how downcast they can be. And what a privilege it is when by that true saving faith, by the work of the Spirit, they may be given to point away from themselves upon that precious head, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has obtained a victory. When faith may be an exercise and given to belief to be a soldier under that banner and tell the devil, devil, you must go to my master. Bring all those accusations before him and he shall answer, I am only a follower. What a privilege and what a blessing. When that faith may be an exercise. Oh, further, if thou be the Son of God, at the beginning, when he began his public ministry, but also at the end, Matthew 27, verse 40, there they have raised that same question when he is hung on the cursed cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down, save thyself. But he was silent. He has gained the victory. Live by every word of God. Oh, when this temptation, and in the three temptations, devil does not give up so easy, as written, after the temptations he has left for a time. But in this temptation, let us mention Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all things like we are, sin accepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and to obtain help in time of need. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, young and old. How is it now with that word of God? Has it become our food? Has it become our light? Have we learned what sinners we are, but also what it has cost that precious mediator? Also in our text words, oh, to defeat the arch enemy, the devil of the church, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the blessed portion of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, my unconverted fellow travelers. May you be given to beg earnestly that you may be placed under that precious banner, saved by him, and for the church of God concerning our text words. What a blessing and what a comfort the Lord granted for his covenant's sake. Amen. Our Lord, we have heard a little of the labors of the dear Son of God for thy honor and for the salvation of the church. And thy word may still be proclaimed, because there is still a church that shall and must be gathered and placed under that banner. But there is also a church that continually needs instruction, that needs comfort, a church that learns with the Jehoshaphat of old concerning those three enemy kings. We have no might against these enemies, but our eyes are upon thee. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people that are so dependent. Wilt thou watch over us in this day? Remember man and beast in the cold of the winter weather, and bring us back in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 420, the stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be reading services next week, as it is planned that we hope to go to Chilliwack. And therefore, the next Confession of Faith class is scheduled for January 28th. And the insight into is at the exit 421 and 2. up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.